Welcome to the Quickening Report. I'm Patrick Wood, your host for today. There may be a day in the near future where I will merely be replaced by ChatGPT. My image is graphically generated, and the talking head, so to speak, and the words coming out of my mouth might actually be a script from ChatGPT made to mimic and imitate what I'm doing on the Quickening Report. I promise when I'm live, I will tell you that, no, this isn't ChatGPT. I promise this today, no, this is not ChatGPT. Of course, ChatGPT wouldn't lie to you, would it? But this is getting out of hand, I have to say. It's interesting. This is one of the lead stories today that I want to talk about is that ChatGPT has finally met the King James Bible. And, okay, well, there's an app for that. There's going to be an application. Actually, it's on the internet right now. It's chatkgv.com. And you can go and ask questions about the Bible, and it will give you answers, sometimes right ones and sometimes wrong ones. But nevertheless, you have to think about this. When you take the intellect of the Bible, which was written by a sentient being, namely God himself, being interpreted by a non-sentient being, well, I can't call it a being, but ChatGPT, an artificial intelligence program, something's wrong with this picture. It doesn't add up to me in any case. And so I have to just tell you about this. This is not strange, but you know, you might have expected that this would happen at some point, and here it is. This is created out of Africa, by the way, by a technical tech wizard down there who grew up in a Christian environment, and he decided as he got older and got into technology that, hey, why not bring ChatGPT in and give the Bible to it, see what it does. So, you know, here we have a situation where I write, in any case, the Bible will now be parsed by ChatGPT. That is artificial intelligence. Ask questions, it gives answers. But ChatGPT has no soul, much less spirit. So is it possible for AI to give meaningful interpretations and spiritual advice to sentient spiritual beings? It would seem not, but that won't stop people from using ChatKGV. You can read this story and you might get a chuckle out of it, and then you'll probably shed a few tears that it's actually come to this. This is going to be a very dangerous situation where artificial intelligence is trying to give spiritual advice to people and, you know, pull up relevant verses that might apply to a certain situation and interpret them correctly, in context, that is. This is going to be an interesting development to keep an eye on. But, you know, we've talked about how AI has already spawned a number of actual religions. Of course, they're not biblical religions or Christian religions, but nevertheless, they are religions. And the worship of artificial intelligence is going to continue. There's no doubt about it. But the main story that we want to talk about today is going to be one that is a little bit deeper. This is written by a Christian apologist, and I titled the headline, How Transhumanism is at Odds with Christianity. This is an important message, an important article. It's a very insightful article, I thought, very well written, very well researched, and it's available on Technocracy News and Trends. You can go there, and if you don't see it for some reason, you come a few days later, well, you can search for it. There's an index there on technocracy.news. In fact, I'll just show you over here, right? I'll put the cursor in that little box over there and type in. Let's say just type in TECH and watch what happens. You see, you type ahead and all of a sudden it will bring up everything that pertains to that word or phrase that you type in. So it's very easy to find something on technocracy.news. So the title again, How Transhumanism is at Odds with Christianity. And this is written by a lady by the name of Becky Sweat via Beyond Today. I wrote at the top of this, one Christian writer offers six reasons why transhumanism is wrong and ill-fated. Because it seeks to structurally change humans, it deserves critical analysis from all sides. My latest book, The Evil Twins of Technocracy and Transhumanism, reveals how global elitists at all levels are pushing transhumanism. In reality, it is a return of eugenics from the 20th century, and more than that as well. But eugenics is a main factor of transhumanism today. So this article is fairly long. It's got a lot of meat in it, and I fully recommend that you go and read this article for yourself. And when we analyze transhumanism from a Christian point of view, it's also important to note that's one view of transhumanism in the world. And it would be crazy to say that only Christianity can somehow offer a critique on transhumanism. That's not true at all. There's many other people from many other avenues that are coming to transhumanism, looking at it, say, this is crazy. This is nuts. This will never work. So don't think that the critique herein is somehow the only critique that ever existed. That would be inaccurate. But here's where we start out on this today. She writes in a nutshell, the transhumanist movement seeks to develop and use technology to radically transform humanity beyond its current physiology and limitations, to augment or amplify natural abilities like intellect and physical strength, create disease-resistant bodies, and extend lifespans or prevent death altogether. We know that several transhumanists in the news recently, big tech names, most of them, consider death to be a disease. They think that that it's just something that can be cured, something that can be prevented altogether. Like might think you could prevent cancer by eating certain healthy foods, for instance, or some other disease by exercising and so on. And so death is just one more of those diseases, inconvenient diseases, that somehow can be cured one day by technology. So she goes on and writes, to accomplish its goals, the transhumanist movement is looking to such technologies as genetic engineering, the deliberate altering of DNA sequences to produce new traits, implant technology, that is the embedding of digital implants in the body to interface with computers. Think of Neuralink with, for instance, with Elon Musk, the brain implant company. Artificial intelligence, that is the development of computer systems that mimic the thinking capabilities of the human mind. And nanotechnology, the manipulation of atoms and molecules to produce new molecular structures and cybernetics. This is essentially NBIC, by the way, which I have explained in some detail and including in my book, The Evil Twins. So that's kind of a backdrop for where her understanding starts. And under the subtitle here, The Human Reasoning Behind Transhumanism, this is a caution here. It can be tempting, she writes, to just laugh all this off. And many people do, I have to say. They hear about transhumanism, so that's the silliest thing I ever heard. Because much of what transhumanists want to do really does sound like science fiction. So there's this tendency for a lot of people to dismiss any discussion of transhumanism because it's just crazy. It just sounds too out there for them. But it is not out there for them, for the transhumanists. They fully believe this. And secondly, there are so many people that are believing this way amongst the global elite. That is, those who have the billions and trillions of dollars at their disposal. These people are taking action to make it happen. They're setting policies in place to make it happen and to do things that will support the transhuman infrastructure. And because they're doing this, because they're actually spending money to change policies, to change studies, to change the way people think around the world, this should be of critical importance to everyone. It really should. ChatGPT, by the way, is very nicely fitting into this whole thing because it is able to rearrange the human mind in such a way that you begin to think differently than you did before. We've talked about ChatGPT elsewhere. It has very dangerous implications, I think, for the future of intellect and the future of critical thinking, especially. But let's go through these six things that she has listed here that that are describing the discrepancies between transhumanism and Christianity. And this is her view. There might be more things than six. I'm sure there are. But I just thought this was an interesting approach to talk about it this way. And so, number one, God is not part of the thinking. She writes, transhumanists reject any belief in God or a spiritual realm. Instead, they have generally adopted the philosophical position known as materialism, which regards the natural, material, and physical universe as the only reality. And we've talked about this before, some detail, by the way, that the transhumanist and technocratic mindset is purely mechanistic. In other words, if you study something long enough, you can break it down to figure out how it works. And if you can figure out how it works, you can figure out how to duplicate that working. This is exactly what transhumanists are viewing the universe as. They say, well, we're just a matter. We're just a bunch of atoms and molecules and stuff like that. There's nothing special about us. And so if we could understand all of the mechanisms of the body and the brain too, how the brain works and how things, the great computer in there reasons things out, well, then we can recreate humanity altogether. We can do something altogether different. Well, God is not part of their thinking. That's really lesson number one, and we've also discussed that before. There is this atheistic flavor to transhumanism, but don't mistake that flavor for non-religiousness. That would be a mistake. Transhumanists are humans after all. Even now, they may call themselves transhumanists. That doesn't matter. They're still human right now. And because they're human, you have to figure that, well, they're going to worship something. I've called it scientism, the worship of science. Essentially, I think that's what really it is. But they will be worshipers of something, but not the God of the Bible. That's just kind of the way it is. So religiosity is seen in all kinds of other religions around the world and other cults around the world, too, that just are out and out really kind of crazy on the surface of them. But people will worship something. And in the past, in the centuries that have preceded, in millennia, people have worshiped rocks. They've worshiped idols, carved idols, wooden idols, stone idols, metal idols, inanimate things of all sorts. They worship the sun. They worship the moon. It seems like this is going to continue today. Men will worship something. Number two, the post-human virtual world is a counterfeit version of eternal life. This is really interesting. She writes, transhumanism is basically an attempt by mankind to achieve eternal life without God. That's exactly it. They still want to live forever and have deluded themselves into thinking this can be done by a physical means, by unloading their minds onto a computer-generated virtual world. Wow. And she continues there, even if that was doable, it would not be a joyful existence, as true peace and happiness is not possible apart from God. And of course, that is what Christians believe, is that God is essential to true peace and happiness and eternal life as well. Okay, number three, transhumanism is a form of evolution. Now, this is also something that we've discussed in this, the Quickening Report before, that the transhuman crowd, as well as the technocrat crowd, believe that they have hijacked evolution. Their belief is we got this far by evolution, where things were just random and there's no intelligent designer because they don't believe in God. And that we got to this state today just by random chance. So that said, now that the tools have emerged to do things like genetic engineering and creating new traits, if you will, within species, they see that as an opportunity to take over intelligent design or become the intelligent design of the future. So there has been no intelligent design up to this point, but now there will be intelligent design going forward because they are the intelligent designers and they have hijacked the process of evolution. So she writes, mankind should use technology to artificially speed up the evolutionary process and bring on the next phase, merging humans with machines. According to transhumanism, our physical bodies are the primary impediment to our advancing as a species. So the human body itself has become a problem. You can't go anywhere with this human body. Evolution has taken too long to get to where we are. See, this is the thinking. And so if we're going to advance in the next century, let's say, you can't rely on natural evolution to get us there. We have to speed it up. We have to do something to make it happen, to get a breakthrough. And this is the transhuman dream right now, is to get that breakthrough. So the human body becomes something that's evil. And of course, if you consider that death is evil itself or a disease, then yeah, it's the human body's fault because it's the one that gets sick. Well, it says the primary concern lies in implementing biotechnology enhancements to the point that we lose our identity as human beings. This is rather disturbing, but this is kind of the direction it's going. Number four, there's no recognition of the spiritual components of the mind. Now, this one is interesting. The Bible tells us that we are human beings, as human beings, we have a spiritual component to our makeup. We see that, I believe, in like Job 32:8, 1 Corinthians 2:11. It is this spirit of man that imparts intellect to our brains, creating the human mind. Transhumanists, as materialists, that is the mechanistic thinking, are not open to this truth at all. They posit, on the other hand, that the human mind, including our thoughts and personalities, is purely physical, consisting of groups of chemicals, neural connections, and electrical impulses that operate in predetermined ways. This is why they think it's possible to capture and digitize the information patterns that supposedly comprise a person's consciousness and upload it into a server. Did you grasp that? This is the heartbeat. This is the exact sentiment that transhumanists are holding on to, that in order to get it up into the computer, you have to treat it as simply just operating according to physical laws, that your brain, the neural connections, the electrical impulses, etc., just it's all predetermined, and it's all just mechanistic. And if we can just figure out how all that works, then we can mimic that. We can duplicate that completely. Well, they're not going to do it, but they think they are. And they're working hard to do it. Companies like Neuralink, for instance, Elon Musk's company, is working on putting these wires, the little threads, into your brain, into certain areas in your brain, where it can be where your brain can then control outside things. It's patched into a computer through a little module that sits on the back of your back of your neck, and you can actually transmit out, supposedly you can transmit out signals from your brain to a computer, to where the computer can now interface with your brain. Well, that's a far cry from downloading your brain into some AI program or something to recreate you as a human, sentient being. Number five, morality is not addressed or seen as important. And this also is true. We saw this during the pandemic where medical ethics, for instance, were thrown to the four winds. And there was virtually no morality attached to what happened during COVID. And there was no ethical constraints on anything that happened. And basically anything went. People were at each other's throat, starting with the medical community at the very top levels of the CDC, the World Health Organization, our government itself, the FDA. All of these organizations caused people in America to be at each other's throat because there was no ethical constraint on what they forced down the people's throat. And of course, all constitutional regards were thrown out at that point as well. So she writes in this when transhumanists talk about the future they envisage, they focus on physical health and strength and cognitive abilities. That's because they see the human condition as purely a physical problem needing physical solutions. But the fact is, humanity's foundational problems are spiritual in nature and require spiritual solutions. We won't be able to control our human nature or have true morality without God. And I would hasten to add that this is a true statement for sure, but I would hasten to add there are other systems of morality in the world and ethics as well. Those have all been discarded by the transhumanist and the technocrat movements. There's no such thing. There's no constraint. They don't want any restrictions on them whatsoever. So any system of morality has been discarded. But the main system that has influenced the world more probably than any other factor is, in fact, the Bible, and which Christians, of course, believe was written by God and given to man as his instructions to mankind. You know, they completely discard that specifically. So human nature can't be changed through the augmentation of intelligence, writes Sandra Gody in Reaching for Immortality, Can Science Cheat Death? This is an interesting book. I may have to get this book and check it out. But she writes, even a cursory view of history reminds us that sophisticated societies, and yes, we're one of those, can still invent more horrific ways to destroy their neighbors and exalt themselves. It follows that technological advance does not inevitably lead to advance in human goodness. Wow, this is exactly the problem. If the world wants to make itself a better place, somewhere along the way, you're going to have to advance human goodness. All of the stuff we're talking about, all of the stuff going on is going in the wrong direction. It's not going to advance human goodness, and it's virtually impossible to do so. Without belief in God, she writes, transhumanists become moral relativists by default, meaning individuals decide for themselves what's right and wrong. C.S. Lewis wrote about this, by the way, in the last century. This inevitably leads to individuals pursuing their own selfish motives, and that's exactly the case. Number six, transhumanism could intensify conflict or lead to enslavement. This is pretty self-evident by this point. Certainly intensify conflict because you're going to end up with the haves and the have-nots. There's always been a conflict between the haves and the have-nots, but in this case, somewhere in the future, she writes, there could be two classes of beings on the earth, the bionically enhanced superhumans who brutalize the other weaker class of beings, the non-enhanced humans. You know it's headed this way. When they talk about when billionaires like Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos or who are Peter Thiel or whoever it might be, talk about escaping death, that death is a disease and there's going to be a cure for it one day. These people have all the money in the world to get it for themselves. But if you think for a minute that that technology or that ability, if it ever is created, is going to trickle down to you, you're involved in a pipe dream. It will not happen that way. You'll end up with the rich having ability to tap into it, and everybody else will become the lower class, if you will, the haves and the have-nots. This is exactly what the world has struggled with forever, and especially in the last century and especially in this century. The haves and the have-nots will eventually find themselves at war because those who have will lord it over those who don't, and they will essentially turn them into a slave class. This has happened so many times in history that it's not even funny. So as we go down to kind of the conclusion of this whole thing, we can wrap it up, I suppose, by saying her subtitle here, transhumanist and ultimately Satan himself, will not succeed. This is something I've said for a long time. Transhumanism and technocracy cannot succeed because they're just unworkable. And it will destroy more of the world than it will recreate it or strengthen it. it's going in the wrong direction. These people think they're saving the world. That's what the Sustainable Development Goals are all about, if you remember. They're saving the world. They think it's going to be wonderful to eliminate poverty and have education for everyone and have, you know, healthy systems, you know, universal health care. They think they're going to save the world by doing these things. But it's just the opposite. They're destroying the world. They're not saving the world. I mean, it's good thought initially that, well, we want to save the world. There's nothing, you could think that, but if you do things that destroy the world, you're going in the wrong direction, and it's something needs to give. So she writes here, transhumanists face some insurmountable challenges. For one, the human mind with its non-physical components cannot be removed from the physical body and transferred over to a robot, computer server, or any other machine. Moreover, qualities like emotions, beliefs, values, and intuition cannot be reduced to mere computer codes to be uploaded to a digital medium. In so many ways, transhumanism is Satan's attempt to, Satan's attempt to detour God in his incredible plans for mankind. Thankfully, it's unlikely transhumanism will ever come to fruition. It really is mostly fiction. Still, understanding what transhumanism is about is a helpful exercise and a huge reminder of what happens when humans do not include God in their thinking. And I will say this about that. The Bible instructs Christians to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within them. This is not a suggestion. This is actually, yes, this is something you should always be ready to do. If you do not understand the transhuman mind and how it is affecting people around the world today, it's very seductive. It's a very, you know, it's something that's just absolutely intriguing to people who have never heard of this before. And if you have no answer for people like that, if you can't stand on something to tell them why it's wrong and why they need to adjust their thinking, why, then you never will. I want to bring back to the cover story here on my part, The Evil Twins of Technocracy and Transhumanism. In this book, I lay it out completely, and you can see for yourself, again, what it's all about and why we should be concerned. So please check it out. If you haven't, make it something that's going to be on your birthday gift list, on your Father's Day list, on your Mother's Day list, whatever, to give to people, to let them decide for themselves on whether this is a good thing or not. Well, in the meantime, we'll be back again tomorrow with another episode of The Quickening Report. I'm Patrick Wood. Take care. God bless.